Father, we love you, Lord, and we thank you for all that you have done. You, Lord, went to the cross, sacrificed yourself for us, sinners. And I am so thankful that we have that forgiveness now, Lord, and that we can walk a guilt-free life and a new life, and that we have been reborn in your spirit, Father. And I'm praying that, you know, it wouldn't be me here speaking, but you would just clothe you with me and allow you to speak through me. And Father, I pray that it reaches the person who's here, maybe for the first time, maybe who doesn't even know you, Lord. But these pictures that you show us through people's lives will touch them. And they will become a part of your family. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so verse 1, chapter 24 of Genesis. Now, Abraham was old. He was an old man. And so I started thinking, I go, well, how old was he? And so you know, if I remember right, when he had Isaac, he was about 100 years old. He was old then. But Isaac, in this story, he's about 40 years old. So now we're looking at 140 years. And I know that he lived on, you know, if you read ahead through some more chapters and everything, he's probably 160, 170, you know, and I'm thinking, and, you know, at this I was thinking, wow, you know, hey, Bob's birthday was just not, what, 2 weeks ago? And he turned 90? That puts you about midlife right here. You know, this is good. You know? So it says, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And I know that in Genesis 12, it talks about the blessings of God and everything. And so that he was going to bless Abraham in all things. So Abraham said to the oldest servant of his house, who ruled over all that he had, please put your hand under my thigh. Now, I'm just telling you, I'd never ask anyone to do that. I'll trust you, you know. But I just think, you know, let your yes be yes and your no be no. That'd be fine with me, you know. But this is what their custom was and everything. And so he was asking his servant to put his hand under his thigh. And it says right here, it says, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. And as I was looking at that, I thought, wow. This servant of his, it's probably Eliezer, the servant. He came down from Haran. Back, if you read back in the chapters before that, in chapter 15, he talks about this servant of his, and it's Eliezer. And so this servant of his, he was actually putting his trust in to go find his son a bride. And so, I think about that, and I'm going, man, I don't know if I'd want anybody looking for a bride for me. You know? I found my bride. You know, on my own.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But, you know, and I was thinking about the old age and all this and how this is all working together. And basically I thought, you know, here I got some gray hair going on now. And I, you know, well, okay. I take that back. It's not gray hair. It's chrome. I'm just saying. But you know, when you get older in life, your thoughts and everything change a little bit, and you know, you start thinking about your health and all this stuff. And it just seems like every time I get up here to speak, I've either been to the doctor recently or I'm going to the doctor. And it was a couple of weeks ago. I went to the doctor for an ear problem, and I had an ear problem, and I had this growth on my skin over here on the right side. And the ear problem's bugging me. And so I go to the doctor and I says, look, I'm here for this problem in my ear. It feels like I got water in there or something's in there. And so, you know, the doctor's giving you the old, hey, you know, what's your history? So she starts asking me all this stuff, and she goes, well, let's see, what did she say? She goes, she goes, are you sexually active? And I go, I go, I've got an ear problem. And so, you know, I'm just kind of going, why is that question being asked, you know? And then I got the question of male or female? And I'm kind of going, oh, man. Now, I don't want to tell you the answer that I had, but I'm just saying, all those questions. But this is when you're getting old, you know, and everything. And I remember my son telling me, he says, Dad, when you get old, will you tell me what it's like? I'm just kind of going, oh, man. So anyway, Abraham's old. He's sending his servant out to find his son. I think that Abraham, he thought he was about to die. I think that's what was going on here. I think he thought he was going to die. And so he's going, look, go out from here because the Canaanites, these people were detestable. These people were so bad that God said later on in the book that if the Israelites acted like them, he would vomit them out of the land. So these people were very detestable. They were actually sacrificing their children to their God, and they had many other gods. And so you can actually get a picture of where this place that Abraham was living. He was living around people that were into sexual immorality and just all kinds of detestable things that he didn't like. So he says he tells the servant, he says, now go back to my family and take from there, you know. And so that's what he's doing. And so he's saying, he says, now. He says, this is what I want you to do. And he says, that's why you put your hand in your thigh. That's, you know, a sign of trust, and that you'll do this and bring back this wife for the son. Now the servant said to him, perhaps he's asking questions. Obviously, you know, if you're going to do something for someone, you want to ask questions, you know, and not be stuck out there. He says, so the servant said to him, perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which you came? But Abraham said to him, beware that you do not take my son back there. And now this word of trust. The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house, from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, to your descendants I give this land. He will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. And so he's laying out this faith to the servant, and he's saying, look, you're going to have success. You know, I am sending you out by the Lord God of heaven, who took me out of my father's house. So the Lord has blessed him in all things. It was probably Eliezer that was the servant that he's sending out. You know, it almost sounds to me as though he was about to die, and he was making him swear to the Lord, the God of heaven. And I don't know about you, but it just sounds to me that this is a picture of Christ or of the Father sending the Holy Spirit to the church to get his bride. I mean, this is how this is portraying to me as I'm reading this thing here. So this sounds like faith that Abraham was saying. Now basically, if you go back to Genesis 12:2, it tells you that I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. So this is what God had told Abraham, that he was going to bless him and make a great nation out of him. Well, how could he do that if his son didn't get married and have kids, right? And I remember he said, I will make your descendants as the stars of the sky, many in multitudes, he says. So the father loved his son and wanted a bride for him. And this does. It just makes a picture of the heavenly father getting a bride for his son. And I think it's neat that God uses, you know, our most intimate relationship as a picture of what he wants from us. Is that fellowship with him, that great intimate fellowship that God wants with us. That's what he wants from all of us, is that great fellowship. So let's read on. What verse was I in? Oh, okay. So he says, look, if the woman's not willing to follow you, then you will be released from this oath. Only do not take my son back there. So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. Okay, so the servant, in verse 10, he says, the servant took 10 of his master's camels. Now, I want you to mark that. I want you to say, wow, camels, 10 camels. Just keep that in mind. And he took his master's goods that were in his hand, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. This is up around Syria, up in that area up there. And he made his camels kneel down outside the city by a well at water at evening time. Kneel, camels. When the women come out to draw water. And this is another custom, is the women would come out and draw water. You know, and they'd come out and they'd have these pitchers and they'd carry them on their shoulders. You know, and they'd get water and bring it back. So what does the servant do? He actually stands right here and he says, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray that God would make this a success. And so he prays, you know, this prayer right here, and I'll just read it to you. It says, Behold, here I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink, and she says, drink, and I will also give your camels a drink. Let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac, and by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. You see how he prays? He prays about success in this, you know, that God's going to provide all this. And it's interesting because now here in verse 15, it says, and it happened before he had even finished speaking. So the Lord already knows what's on his heart and what he's praying about. And so the Lord's already answering this prayer before it is even finished coming out of his heart, which is interesting to me. Yeah. And so it goes on and it says, and it happened before he had finished speaking that behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. There it is, the picture of them carrying that water jug up there. I wonder how many gallons were in that thing. I'm just wondering, you know, was it a gallon pitcher? Was it 2 gallons? I don't know. But, you know, you think of a weight of water and how much they carry on that. So now the young woman was very beautiful to behold, in verse 16 it says. A virgin, no man had known her, and she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her. And said, please, let me drink a little water from your pitcher. So she said, drink, my lord. Then she quickly let her pitcher down to her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking. Then she quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran back to the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. This servant knew how to watch and pray. He actually he knew how to discern God's leading in this, you see. And he wasn't disappointed, because when Rebekah came out, it says right here, it says she was a beautiful thing to behold, you know. And this morning when Mel came in, I was thinking, I remember that. She is a beautiful thing to behold. As I turned around and saw her right there. Oh, no, man. I'm sorry, honey. Yeah. Thank you very much. Yeah, bear with me here. Bear with me. So anyway, she was captivating. A matter of fact, you know what her name actually refers to? Tying or binding up. She could actually tie or bind up a man. She could actually tie or bind up or captivate a man's eyes and his thoughts. Mel, that's what you do for me. Thank you very much. It is going to get mushy. Now, talk about these camels. Remember how many camels he had? 10 camels. I went online and I looked up, how much can a camel drink? 20 to 40 gallons at one sitting. Now, I don't know about you, but I tried doing the math. And I'm thinking now, okay, 10 camels. And if I just stay on a conservative note, 20 gallons each, that's, maybe, 200 gallons. So, you know, it says here, when you get down to 21, it says, and the man, the servant, wondering at her, remained silent so as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. So he kind of sits there and he's going, I wonder if she's going to feed all 10 of them, you know, or drink, you know, give them a drink, all 10 of them, you know. So, I mean, this took a little while, you know, and he sat there and just watched the whole thing. He didn't get up and help. He just wanted to make sure that this was God's thing that he prayed about. He wanted to have confirmation. That's the word. He wanted to have confirmation. So he watches as she goes back and forth to the water trough, gets the water, dips it down, puts it in the trough, and allows the camels to eat. No, drink. I don't know how long this took. I'm just saying. You know, he was watching. Actually, you know what it came to mind? Was Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. You know, he was actually being still. He was sitting there being still and just watching her. You know, confirmation. So, basically, hospitality. That's what she was providing. She saw to his need, she saw to the camel's needs and everything. So, you know, basically, wow, what a woman. What a woman. This would make a great bride. You know, a beautiful woman, a virgin. She serves. She does all those things. She brings home the bacon. Camel's bacon. No, I'm just saying. That was a joke. I know you didn't know what happened. I'm just saying. So 22, so it says, so it was when the camels had finished drinking that the man took a gold nose ring weighing half a shekel and two bracelets for her wrist weighing 10 shekels. You know, I wonder if she knew, if she would have known. You know, just that this, you know, that you know, by serving these camels, that she was going to be given these gifts. You see? And you look at the gold nose ring, you know, and you think, wow, man, well, that's how it was back then. They wore nose rings and stuff. And, you know, this doesn't amaze me. I mean, yesterday I met my grandson's girlfriend, and what did she have? A nose ring. You know, so it still goes on today. This is going on. So anyway, you know, she shows this great hospitality and everything. And I think that that's a good thing if we wanted to take a lesson to it. Young men, if you're out there and you're looking for a bride, I think this is something you could look for. One that serves, you know? Don't go to the well. Don't take 10 camels. I'm just saying, But anyway. So it was when the camels had finished drinking that the man took a golden nose ring weighing half a shekel and two bracelets for her wrist weighing 10 shekels of gold. She got these gifts. She didn't think of anything of that nature. She just was doing it as a natural response. But she gets gifts for it. And I think that's neat because I know that the Lord gives the church, he gives each one of us gifts as we come into his family and he gives us gifts to serve in the body of Christ. You know, so it was kind of a picture of that. And so he says, whose daughter are you? Tell me, please, is there room in your father's house for us to lodge? So she said to him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, Milcah's son, whom she bore to Nahor. You know, this is actually Abraham's brother's granddaughter. That's who this is. This is who Rebekah is. Moreover, she said to him, we have both straw and feed and enough and room to lodge. So then the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. He praised the Lord for what had happened. He prayed this prayer. It comes to fruition. He had confirmation on it. And what's the first thing he does is he worships the Lord. He gives praise for it. Answered prayer. And he says, this is what he says. He said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master. As for me, being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And that brings to mind, you know, where the Lord guides, he provides. Isn't that true? Where he guides, he provides for us. So, you know, this is kind of exciting for this woman, I bet. You know, she feeds this rich man because he's got 10 camels, you know. And so she's excited. And so it says, the young woman ran and told her mother's household these things. Now Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban. And Laban ran out to meet the man by the well. Now, you know, I've read ahead and I know Laban, and I know that, you know, he's a deceitful guy and everything. And you know, I can't tell the whole story because I'd run out of time, but you know, and that's just the idea that I got was, you know, so he runs out to this man by the well. And so it came to pass when he saw the nose ring and the bracelets on his sister's wrist, and when he heard the words of his sister Rebekah saying, "Thus the man spoke to me," that he went to the man, and there he stood by the camels at the well. And he says, "Come in, O blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside? For I have prepared a house and a place for the camels." And so he gives this great hospitality. And the man came into the house and he unloaded the camels and provided straw and feed for the camels. So he was, you know, this great hospitality he's given, you know, this family that he's gone back to. He's getting this great hospitality and everything. And he's going, "Wow, this is great." And then it says, then he even provided water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. And you know, I thought, remember John 13, I think it was John 13 where Jesus took that bowl of water and he washed his disciples' feet as a sign of servanthood. You know, here the king of all creation is actually taking a water and he's wiping and cleaning his disciples' feet and then drying them with a towel. I just think that's so cool that the Lord of all creation would do that for us. You know, and it was an example to us as to serve each other, to serve the body, you know. I've kind of gotten away from my notes. Let's keep reading. So again, it says here in verse 33, it says, "Food was set before him to eat, but he said, 'I will not eat until I have told about my errand.'" So he was so excited about what had happened, he didn't even want to eat yet. He wanted to give this message of why he was there. And so he goes on and he says, so he said, "I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master greatly and he has become great. And he has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male and female servants, camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old. And to him he has given all that he has. Now my master made me swear, saying, 'You shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell. But you shall go to my father's house and go to my family and take a wife for my son.' And I said to myself, 'Perhaps the woman will not follow me.' But he said to me, 'The Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with you and prosper your way, and you shall take a wife for my son and from my family and from my father's house. And you will be cleared of this oak when you arrive among my family. If they will not give her to you, then you will be released from my oath.'" So, you know, it's amazing to me that this servant, he doesn't talk about himself. All he does is talk about his master. You know, it's not about him. It's about his master, Abraham. 1 Corinthians 2:10 says, "But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things." Yes, the deep things of God. John 14:26 says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." You know, so the Holy Spirit, you know, that Christ died on the cross. He said, "I will send the Helper. He will teach you all things about his Father." And I think that's cool that, you know, this is a picture of what we're getting back here 4,000 years. It was 2,000 years before Christ went to the cross. You know, that God is using the lives of people to give us a picture, because this is for us, of what he did on the cross and what he's done for you and me. It's just amazing to me. So it goes on and it says in verse 42, it says, "And this day I came to the well and said, 'O Lord God of my master Abraham, if you will now prosper the way in which I go, Behold, he's kind of excited about this. This is like his testimony of what had just taken place. And he's given this to them, you know. It's just like when I went to the men's mission and I gave my testimony there, and I was kind of excited because, you know, the Lord has done certain things in my life and has led me on this path, you know, and everything. And I was kind of excited and everything. And so I was giving it to him, and I was just, wow, this is it, you know. And he didn't even want to eat until he's told all this. So he says, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin comes out to draw water, and I say to her, please give me a little water from your pitcher to drink. And she says to me, drink, and I will draw for your camels also. Let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son. But before I had finished speaking in my heart, you know, now this is neat because, you know, we don't have to pray out loud. We don't have to pray with our hands put together. We don't have to bow on our knees. We don't have to do any of that. The Lord hears your heart. He knows the thoughts and intents of your heart. You see? And so he says, I before I had finished speaking in my heart, there was Rebekah coming out with her pitcher on her shoulder. And she went down to the well and drew water. And I said to her, please let me drink. And she made haste and let her pitcher down from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will give your camels a drink also. So I drank, and she gave the camels a drink also. Then I asked her and said, whose daughter are you? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, nay, her son, whom Milcah bore to him. So I put the nose ring on her nose and the bracelets on her wrist, the gifts, and I bowed my head and worshiped the Lord. There it is again, worship the Lord because of what he's done for you in your life. Bless the Lord, God of my master Abraham, who had led me in the way of truth to take the daughter of my master's brother for his son. How many times has God answered your prayers? You know, and you just say, oh, thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord of what you have done, Father. Now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me that I may turn to the right hand and the left. So he says, look, you know, I've told you all these things. And he says, now tell me. He's actually getting the family's approval, you know, to take his daughter back to his master. And so he says, look, just tell me now, you know, so I can turn to the right hand or left, so I can go out and look, you know, other places, you know, for that bride, if this isn't going to be. You know, and I kind of get a picture, you know, what it made me think of, because I wrote it down here. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And that's what he was doing in the life of this servant here. He was directing his paths. So it says, let's see, where was I? Oh, 50. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing comes from the Lord. Well, obviously, all this stuff has come from the Lord because, I mean, look how it all happened. Look how it all came into fruition. You know, everything just happened in a succession, just as he had said. And he says, here is Rebekah before you. Take her and go and let her be your master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass when Abraham's servant heard their words that he worshiped the Lord, bowing down himself to the earth. You see, praising the Lord again for what he has done in the life of him. Praising the Lord. Then the servant brought out jewelry, silver, jewelry of gold, clothing, and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave precious things to her brother and her sister. You know, I don't know about you, but you know, when I came to the Lord, you know, I think it was a blessing for others in the family. I think that you know, that the gifts that God gives you and everything, and the attributes of the Holy Spirit that he places upon you, it becomes a blessing for the other family. I mean, heck, they knew how you were before, you know, and now they see a change in your life, you know, and everything. So it's amazing to me how the family can actually be blessed because of these things. So then it says in verse 54, it says, and he and the men who were with him ate and drank and stayed all night. Now, they finally get to eat. I don't know how long this little thing here took, but it only took me, I don't know, 5 minutes. Ooh, I better get going here. But I'm just, you know, I'm saying, man, they finally get to drink. They traveled all that way, you know, and now they're finally getting to drink, man. I mean, the other guys there was probably going, come on, dude, let's just eat, okay? You know, put all that stuff aside. But they finally get to eat. When I first read this, because of my life, I thought, it says here, and the men who were with him ate and drank all night. and stayed all night, ate and drank. And I'm thinking, oh, you know, of course, my life, you know, I ate and I drank a lot and, you know, and I passed out and I, you know, fell asleep and everything. But that's my thinking. It doesn't say that here. It says they just ate and drank. Okay, so they ate the meal that they had before them and they drank, you know, with it. And they stayed all night. So they stayed overnight, basically. Then they arose in the morning, and he said, send me away to my master. And then verse 55, it says, but her brother and her mother said, let the young woman stay with us a few days, at least 10. After that, she may go. And he said to them, do not hinder me. Don't delay me. Since the Lord has prospered my way, send me away so that I can go to my master. I think he was even anxious to get back to his master to tell him this story, what had taken place. You know? And that reminds me of the disciples. And when they went out, you know, when he sent out the disciples and they did the miracles out in the world there, you know, as they gave the gospel, that they came back and they were anxious to get back to the Lord, you know, to tell them what had happened in their lives. I think that's kind of cool. So they said, we will call the young woman and ask her personally. Then they called Rebecca and said to her, will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. A call. Personally. To me, salvation. The bride had nothing to go on but the treasures she saw and the words she heard from the servant. In spite of those who urged her to delay, you know, the family says, oh no, don't go there, don't go with them. She made a decision of faith and said, I will go. So now, just let me get this straight. The father loved his son, his only begotten son, and wanted to get him a bride for him. So he sent his servant to ask her to come. This is a call of salvation, folks. That's what this is here. You know? And I thought, wow, that's cool. So it made me think, actually, I don't know why, but 1 Peter 1, 3 through 12 came up to me. So let me just turn there real quick. I think I got it marked here. And I was just going to give a verse, but I thought, wow, this is too cool. I got to read it all. You know? It's the Word of God. So blessed be the Lord, be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy in inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. Searching what? Or what manner of time? The Spirit of Christ, who was in them, was indicating that when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you. This is what it was. This was a call of God and a call to you. Maybe there's someone out there, maybe there's someone here in this room here today that doesn't have the Lord in their life. And I believe that for me, this was for me just putting on my heart, you know, that, you know, maybe you're thinking, I don't know exactly what to do or anything. But the Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so I want to make it comfortable. I want to make it easy for that person. And so I just want to let us all say a prayer. Let us all just bow our heads and just say a prayer. And so that it would be comfortable for that person that doesn't know. And how easy it is just to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. So let's pray. Lord, I believe. I have to repeat after me so we all say it. Lord, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that He came and died to pay the penalty for the sins I have committed. I ask You to forgive me and to give me the gift of eternal life You promised. Come into my life and cause me to be born again. Amen. You know what? If you said that prayer, I just say, you know, speak to me afterwards. Come to me. I'll tell you what to do next. You know, it's an awesome thing that you just did. And so let's continue with the story. And I got to speed it up because I forgot about communion. So, let's see, where are we at here? I've gotten pretty far along here. Okay. Now you've come to the body of Christ. You are now a part of that body. You are now a part of the bride of Christ and everything. And so they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men, and they blessed Rebekah and said to her, "Our sister, may you become the mother of thousands of 10,000s, and may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them." And so they sent them on their way. And then it says, "Then Rebekah and her maids arose, and they rode on the camels and followed the man. So the servant took Rebekah and departed. Now Isaac came from the way of Beer Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south." Must be a beer garden or something. No, I don't know why I threw that in there. But listen, this is the first time we hear about Isaac since two chapters ago. In chapter 22 is when Abraham took his only begotten son up on that hill to sacrifice him. And so for two chapters now, we didn't hear about Isaac until now. And he comes out to meet the bride. So he comes out in the evening, and he lifted his eyes and looked, and there were the camels coming. Then Rebekah lifted her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from her camel. For she had said to the servant, "Who is this man walking in the field to meet us?" And that reminded me of Jesus Christ meeting us in the air. It reminded me of the rapture. Something to look forward to, hope that's what's coming. As we look at the world and we see all the things that are taking place that God has prophesied about, we are nearer than we were yesterday. We are nearer than we were an hour ago. I think it's coming. And we're about at this point that the bride of Christ will go to be with the Lord. And so it says, "And the servant told Isaac all the things that had happened." So he went off on this spew again about everything that the Lord had done in his life and all this stuff. He was anxious. So then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And so Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. And if you know anything about the customs of Israel and when they get married and stuff, he takes the woman into the tent and fulfills a week with her. And they're not seen again for that week. And that reminds me of, you know, the time that we're going to be raptured with the Lord. Maybe that 1 week period when the Lord deals with the Israel and the world down here, we'll be up there with the wedding feast of the Lamb, feasting with Him as that all takes place. And that's how this story all came to life with me. Just a beautiful picture of how Christ has worked out His plan all through history, all through life, testimony after testimony after testimony, the love of God. And He loves you. Let's pray. I think the team's going to come forward, and we're going to sing a song, right? And then we'll give communion. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You, Lord, for Your word. Thank You for the love that You continue to pour down upon us. I thank You for those who came to the Lord today. And I pray, Father, that You would hold them tight, that You will never leave them nor forsake them. And I thank You for all that You have done, Father. And I just praise Your name. In Jesus' name, amen.